This is the Dungeon Master's Handbook. Hello, I'm Michael, also known as Chicago Wiz. Thanks for listening.
I have a really special episode right now. I am pleased and thrilled to introduce a good friend of mine and someone that a lot of you old school gamers should get to know for a reason I'm about to reveal in a second. I'd like to introduce Jacob Favbruckner of Ralparsa Legacy. Yes, you heard that right. Ralparsa, the name associated with Dungeons and Dragons for many of us over our childhood in the late 70s, early 80s. Jacob is the owner and operator of Ralparsa Legacy. And Jacob, thanks for joining Dungeon Master's Handbook. It's a pleasure to have you on.
Hi, Michael. It's good to be with you. It's still weird to hear my name associated with anything like owner-operator. I got too used to being, quote, the Chaos Wars guy.
Oh, and you still are the Chaos Wars guy. Why don't you tell us, kind of introduce us to who Jacob is?
Okay. So I started out like a lot of people playing Warhammer Fantasy. And I actually came to miniatures rather late. I was a comic book guy for the first 20 some years of my life. I ended up helping out my buddy who owned a hobby store. And the regulars at the store eventually talked me into playing some Warhammer with them, which, you know, it's easy to get sucked into that kind of thing. And after doing that for a couple of years, I basically would buy junk armies off people, more specifically junk orcs and goblins. So when someone would get frustrated with it and want to dump it real cheap, I'd pick them up and I'd take the parts I wanted and I'd trade off the rest, and eventually had about 10 times the amount of orcs and goblins painted up that you need to play a game with.
That's neat.
It seems around the time, like 2003-ish or so, you know, that's when eBay really got big as far as with me. There was an old catalog in the hobby store, like an old 5th edition Warhammer Fantasy rulebook. It had, you know, advertisements and stuff for some of the older miniatures that had been discontinued. You know, I decided to check out on eBay and see if I could find some of these older pieces. So I started collecting older Warhammer stuff, and then started collecting older pre-Warhammer stuff that was from Citadel. Mm-hmm. So through eBay, I ended up meeting Rich Smethurst, and Rich was one of the original owners of Ralparsa.
Back in the 70s.
Yep. So I met him just hunting down old miniatures. He told me some of the story of Ralparsa. Mm-hmm. So ended up talking with Rich for several hours. Rich started introducing me to people, you know, some of the old painters and employees and stuff. And then eventually he introduced me to Mike Noe. Mike is the president and primary owner of Ironwind Mountains. Mm-hmm.
So it's at this point that I need to jump in again. We spent almost 2 hours talking about Jacob's history with Ralparsa and Ironwind Metals and the previous Kickstarters that he created for Chaos Wars and for bringing back out a lot of the old Ralparsa miniatures back into print. We decided to focus on the current Kickstarter with all of the fantastic new Tom Meyer miniatures and come back at a later time with the history of Ralparsa and Jacob's involvement with it and cover what happened on the previous Kickstarters. So, with that said, on with the interview.
So, if someone is listening to this and they aren't as familiar, say, with Wargaming or with Tom Meyer, if you had to sell them on Chaos Wars or Tom's figures so that they would go to this Kickstarter page, what would be like a, you know, your elevator speech, let's say?
So let's start with the game. Mm-hmm. If you like competitive games where you can beat the shit out of your friends and or enemies or family members, Chaos Wars is a little bit like playing Sorry or Monopoly in the level of antagonism you'll have towards the person you're playing against. But on top of that, you get to use dragons and catapults and stuff to kill their figures. And you can have a lot of fun, basically just, you know, devastating the other person's forces. And in the end, everybody walks away and is, you know, okay with things.
That's accurate.
Yeah.
Having played against you and you constantly stomp me into the ground. So, yeah.
In the friendliest way possible, though. I
hope. Of course.
In all fairness, that's more of a general war. Why wargaming is fun, but sure. With Chaos Wars, the main difference between it and other mass market games is that one of the core tenets of it was that you should be able to take any figures you like and use them if you want to. And with the second edition, we expanded on that more to say, okay, if you really want to be able to do these special things that maybe would be uncommon, like have, you know, an elf with a handgun or something, if it's not gonna devastate the rules, yeah, we'll let you do it and we'll encourage you to do it. And here's how you do it. And the things that maybe might cause issues with the game, we'll still let you do those too, but you're going to pay a premium for them, not with dollars, but when you build your army list. So yeah, you can do some weird stuff to really augment. And if you want to make an entire army out of ghosts or something, sure, we've got a way for you to do that. You're going to be at a slight disadvantage when you play because you've got all this special stuff on there, but you really can customize your forces to be however they want to be. And you and the people you're playing against can customize sort of the level of what your game's going to be like, whether it's a high fantasy game or a low fantasy game, whether you want to play in a battlefield or in a city. We actually worked all that into the rules in ways that seem to somehow, it's like we stumbled backwards into finding a way that makes them work. There might be better ways to make some of the things work out there, but we actually, through process of elimination and a lot of dumb luck, we managed with a system that really seems to let you do a lot of these things.
So now sell the person that has never heard of Tom Meyer before on this Kickstarter and Tom Meyer Sculptors.
Okay. Well, let's assume the person already is somehow involved in the hobby. Before Tom Meyer stumbled across using green epoxy ribbon, the entire industry sculpted in something similar to Milliput, which can be chalky and has a lot of characteristics that don't allow for it to hold detail in all the ways that sculptors wanted it to. The other main way that people sculpted before that was actually melting solder onto a metal figure and then taking metal files and filing away to sort of carve away and make the detail on figures. Therefore, you didn't have a whole lot of stuff like people doing tiny buttons and epaulets and stuff. A lot of that stuff before Tom started sculpting, people would paint onto their miniatures. So you'd have markedly smoother figures that you would paint your details onto, which isn't bad. But I know, talking to the people who were collectors and gamers at the time, when Tom's sculpts started being released, it was a shock to a lot of people that they had, say, buttons on the shirts and collars and stuff. And, you know, Tom went further than that and he did, you know, belt buckles and latches, and the man has sculpted eyebrows and pupils into inch tall figures. And he did this before anybody was pulling it off. Tom was stubborn enough when he grabbed the wrong material and didn't know it. He just kept working with that material until he found a way to make it work. In probably 74, they started Partha in 75. When they went to their first convention, which I believe was Gen Con in 1975, which would have been right after they started the company. Allegedly, they sold out at Gen Con and created enough of a shockwave that, you know, guys who were there at that show still remember seeing those figures and clamoring to get them. And Tom just got better with time. He kept adding detail, kept refining things, and kept experimenting. And then you had his business partners who were all various types of gamers, the majority probably historical tabletop gamers. So Tom would sculpt a Greek and bring it in, and their response would be, "This is wonderful. Give us 100 more of these, please." So, you know, I'm sure that's one of the things that made it a little difficult, especially in the early days at Ralph Arthur, where Tom would sculpt something, he'd bring it in. And it's sort of like that whole saying, you know, if you're really good at your job, you'll be rewarded with more work.
Right. So,
you know, when Tom sculpted the first Greek, first they asked him to do more Greeks, and then they asked him to do Syrians and Romans and this and that and the other. But
so if I was to summarize for the person that may not know, this Kickstarter is about getting figures done by the master after 50 years of experience. And this is almost a culmination, if you will, of his experience and skills put into these figures.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully it's the halfway mark. Because I as long as we're both alive, I hope 50 years from now to be going and collecting sculpts from Tom. But who knows? It's someone who has perfected their craft as much as any craft can be perfected. Tom sort of defined what elves look like too. The first real mass market elves that looked more than anything other than humans with pointy ears were the Ralph Partha elves. It was a really successful line. It was an award-winning line. And elves that came out after that, not to say that other sculptors and designers don't deserve credit for their work. They definitely do. But you can see the influence of Tom's work in everything that came afterwards.
If you go to any old school related Facebook group or online group, and you drop a picture of a Tom Meyer Ralph Partha elf, you will get tons and tons of comments. "Oh, I remember those. Those were the best figures." So there's clearly a magic there. And, you know, looking at these new figures, it's definitely still there. They're just amazing.
Yeah. And his technical skill is even better than it was. I mean,
which is pretty incredible.
Yeah, it is. I mean, the old figures, the figures that are literally older than I am, they still hold up to modern stuff. Mm-hmm. And then his new stuff is even better. But it is something special to actually hold in your hand and see. You know, I fell in love with it. And I think it's something everybody should try painting one of, because it is a different experience.
Having worked my way through a few hundred of Tom's figures and currently struggling with some Elven Cavalry, I agree. So this Kickstarter ends on July 14th. For my listeners, like I said, I'm going to put the link to the new Kickstarter as well as to the old Kickstarters in the show notes. Definitely go and check this out. If nothing else, you know, definitely watch the introductory video, because the eye candy there alone is worth it. And for you RPG players, these figures will look right at home with anything that you currently have right now from Wizards of the Coast or anywhere else you might have collected these figures.
Okay, that's it for this interview. I hope you do go check out the Kickstarter. And until next time, game on.